Good morning. I'm Coach Jake, and this is Coach Josh joining me up here on stage. And we call ourselves coaches instead of high chancellors or something weird because we believe here at Maywood that a church is all about a team of people working together for Jesus right here in our neighborhood. And so our role is to equip you guys, to empower you guys, because only it's when we're all working together that we're going to look like Jesus out there to Western Independence. So that's why we're coaches. We're not joined by Bob today. He is in California visiting some family. And Josh and I, go ahead.
He called me this morning and he said, "Josh, what are you going to wear?" I was like, "Well, I'm wearing my plaid shirt. You going to wear yours too?" I'm just kidding.
Yeah. We want to do that every week, but Bob doesn't let us. And so now that he's gone, we get to dress like each other. So, yeah. So we're in our communication series today. And I don't know where my little clicker thing is at. We may have to get through it without. I'm not sure where I put it.
Who's the wise guy?
We'll figure that out. It may be. Yeah. Nope. So that's okay.
I will have you guys to know this. On Tuesday, I'm going in for my last cancer treatment.
Woo!
I just wanted to take this time to say thank you guys for riding with me on this, man. You know what I'm saying? For real. For real.
So that's a big deal. So we're going to continue to be in prayer. We've been talking about communications this whole series, and we're in our final week this week. Every week we've been trying to take what are the best lessons of how we should talk to each other, how we should listen to each other, and how do we apply that to our relationships, and particularly to our relationship with God. And the song we just sang, you know, it's a catchy tune, but it gets at this idea that words are really, really powerful. And we've all had those moments where something we said or something someone else said really changed someone, either for worse or for better. And so today we're going to be talking about, we've got all these lessons about communication, but we're going to be talking about how do you actually be the type of person, the type of communicator that your words help other people, that your words actually change their lives in a positive direction. Not just that you say good stuff, but that you change the people around you. So that's what we're going to be talking about. The reason we're talking about it is this verse, Ephesians 4:29. It says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." So a lot of times people will read this and they'll look at that very first part and say, "Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of their mouths," and think, "Okay, I need to stop cursing or I need to stop saying dirty things or bad things." And that's fine, that's good, but we want to focus in today on the second half of this verse. How do we do the positive side of it? Because I think that's what we can't do, what we can't accomplish without God's help. So he says we should only say what's helpful for building other people up according to their needs. It's an interesting point that we're going to get back to. But first, Josh, can you tell us a little bit about how does this work in your life, the idea of building people up or tearing them down? Do you have any examples of that?
Yeah, I do. And when Jake asked me to talk about this, you know, of course I was going to share about, of course I'm going to tell you a story about when I built somebody up, right? Because I'm Coach Josh, and I would never say anything that would ever tear anybody down, right? Right? Well, I wish that were so. I'm going to tell you a story about something different today. And Josh Monk responds pretty good to challenges. Like, I think I respond good to challenges. So that's how I try to take that onto my life. And if I want somebody to do something, I'll kind of challenge them to do it. And I tend to think it's okay because that's what I respond to well. And that's not always the case. So just because you respond well to something in your life doesn't mean that you should use that when you go on and approach somebody else. There was a time where my daughter was playing soccer, okay? And the game was tied, and it was coming down to the last part of the soccer game, and she was on defense, and she was standing in front of the goalie, And the ball came, and she went up and she gave that ball the biggest kick she could. Boom, and it went in her own net. And she won the game for the other team. And all of her team members were like, "Kinley, like, I can't believe you did that. Like, you just lost the game for us." And she, I mean, she, you know, a 9-year-old little girl, was, I mean, she was distraught over it. I mean, you know, and the coach didn't have much really sympathetic things to say. And she came over and, "You know what? I didn't either." And I said, "Kinley, you know, I can't believe you did that. Like, I can't believe you didn't know to kick the ball the other direction." And she's like, "Dad, I was just trying to kick it out of there." And I'm like, "I know, but, you know," and this is an example of me using my words to tear somebody down. And it's, you know, I'm like, now you guys go, "What a jerk, Josh." What a jerk, yeah. And so that's a, without thinking, your words carry weight. Your words are powerful. And you don't get them back once they come out of you, especially to your kids. And you get one shot at it. Once they come out of your mouth, they carry weight and power. So we need to be careful about what we say.
Yeah. And I love Josh's honesty there. They brought up that he responds well to challenges. So when he's trying to help somebody else change, he normally challenges them. And that's our normal default mode. Whatever works for you, if you're very analytical, you like numbers, and you're trying to help somebody, you'll probably explain it with a bunch of numbers or a bunch of math. Well, unless you're talking to somebody that also likes numbers and math, it's not going to help them. And Josh responds great to challenges. He rises up to the challenge. But there's a lot of people Josh challenges, and they don't respond well to that. They don't rise to the occasion. So our normal mode is we see somebody at point A, we want to help them get to point B, and we try to tell them what we would want to hear or what we think they need to hear. But a lot of times we haven't really thought through that part of the verse right there. We've left off building up others according to their needs. So it's a big piece of the verse. When stuff's in the Bible, there's a lot of times there's a lot there. We don't want to just breeze over any of these words. So building people up according to their needs. That jumped out to me this week. And on this next slide, Corin, if you could help us out, we've got John Wooden here. And he's here with Swin Nader, I think is this guy's name, and Bill Walton. And so these are two great players. But John Wooden is maybe one of the best coaches of all time. He won 10 NCAA championships with UCLA in 30 years. I mean, he's like the winningest coach in basketball history, I think, for championships. So pretty incredible coach. How was he such a good coach? Well, I was reading a book called You Haven't Taught Until They Learned that gets at his teaching styles and his coaching styles. And one of the big keys to his method of coaching was that you have to coach every player as an individual. You have to take the time to learn about each person and how they respond. So you've got these two guys, they both play center. They're both on the same team at the same time. They even look a little bit similar, like the exact same height almost. So Swin,
I don't want to catch you wearing those Bill. Shorts, Jake.
Yeah, that's okay. We'll keep dressing like this. We'll leave the shorts to these guys. So yeah, those are insane. So but John would coach these guys very differently. So Swin on the left became a professional player, had a lot of talent, but he was riding the bench at UCLA. And John would constantly encourage him all the time because he's a pretty sensitive guy. And he needed that encouragement or he'd get down on himself and frustrated and not play as well. But Bill, on the other side, was super talented, went on and had a great career in the NBA. And John tried to avoid giving him encouragement because his head would just get bigger and bigger and bigger. And so he had to be really critical with Bill and very hard on him to get him to perform. And John had a lot of different players over the years. And every player, every single time they had to practice, he would have little note cards like this on every player. And he would write down what drills were working for what player and how a player was responding or not. And he would spend 2 hours every morning on the day of practice preparing for the practice and preparing for what was he going to say to each player. And knowing that, like, this player is going to hesitate when he gets a rebound, so I'm going to say this sentence to help him to know who to throw it to and stuff like that. So he would think through what he was going to say. And most of all, he would pay attention to the needs of the others around him. So when he learned who they were, what they responded to, then he knew how to coach them. Then he knew how to build them up. And if you read about any of John Wooden's players, they will talk about what an amazing coach he was. If you want to be the type of person that can build someone else up, it starts with being like John, to pay attention to how does this person respond? What messages do they receive? What do they need? Do they need encouragement? Or do they need a challenge? Or what do they need to get from point A to point B? So that's what John was teaching us this week. And it's really important to be this type of builder because of the very next verse in Ephesians. So if we click to that, Corn, Paul has given us a list of godly actions. And then he tells us in verse 29, we're actually going to go to verse 30 though, Corn. He tells us in verse 29, we need to build people up. And he says this. He says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." So as Christians, we believe that when we say, "Jesus, you know better than me. Jesus, I want to follow you," God tells us that he comes and lives in our heart. Paul says that we become a temple for God's presence. So God is physically in us through the Holy Spirit. Now, the drawback to that for God is that God is physically in us through the Holy Spirit. So God is with you throughout the whole day. God gets to, imagine if someone had a camera on their head and you had to watch their whole day. There'd be some painful moments in that. I was sitting in a room a while back with some family members. There was two family members that were really close to each other. It wasn't really my place to talk during this conversation, but one of them shared something, the female in the room shared something that really had hurt her that had happened in her life. And like I said, it wasn't really my place to talk. She was telling this other family member about it. And so I just had to watch as they talked about it. Now, a lot of times we think, oh, maybe I'll grieve the Holy Spirit because I said something jerky or I said something mean to my daughter or I said something mean to my coworker. But this was kind of a different level for me. So this lady shares something really painful that she's going through, and she shares it in about 15 minutes, 5, 10 minutes. The other guy then goes for about four times as long as she talked, and he just begins giving advice and advice and advice and advice about it. And then she starts to talk about stuff that he's gone through that's bad and his own story. And to see this lady, I'm family members with both of them. I care about both of them. They're both my family. To see her open up her heart and then to see him just respond in not a wise way. He didn't say anything mean, like he wasn't a jerk. But she really needed somebody to just come alongside her and say, like, that's hard. And instead she got an earful and more of advice. And it was like, that's not what she needs. I felt bad. Just sitting in the room and watching those two family members talk to each other, I felt like, ugh. When I read this verse, I realized this is how the Holy Spirit feels a lot of times when we talk to other people. He's family members with us. He loves us. He loves the people we talk to. And a lot of times he's brought to tears because of the way we talk to other people. Because he's sitting there in us and he's watching the whole thing play out. And we could get the best scientists in the world to try to put together some super weapon and they couldn't touch God. They couldn't hurt God. But we, with the way we talk to each other, the Bible tells us we can make God experience pain. We can grieve God. So our words are really, really powerful. How do we do better? When we're talking about how do we have a better relationship with God through our words, I think back to my mentor, Joey Butler. I came across a slide or a piece of paper from him this last week. He's died a little over a year ago. But I came across a piece of paper that he'd wrote, if we can go to this next slide, Corn. And I don't think it was coincidence I came across it this week. So Joey had told me, I'd written a note of something he had told me. He said, "You know, Jake, as you're getting deeper with God, you know, you've put out some of your own fires. You need to start praying and asking God, what are you doing in other people's lives? The lives of the people that you're around. Start asking God, what are you doing in their lives?" Now, you don't ask that so you can, like, get the latest scoop from God about somebody or something like that. You ask it because if you find out that God is helping someone become a better dad and you know in your heart that God's doing that, then you can come alongside them and encourage them in a really powerful way. When you say, like, man, that's really awesome that you went to her soccer game. Or when you know that someone's really struggling with anger, you can come alongside her and say, I'm so glad that you were patient and you didn't explode when that kid kicked you in the knee or whatever happened. Like, so you can start to know the right things to say to people. You get to start to work with God when you start to ask him, God, what are you doing in someone's life? How can I speak something good into someone else's life? And it's a little bit like in this next slide, it reminds me a little bit, if you guys have ever seen like a James Bond movie or a spy movie, a lot of times the spy will have a little earpiece in and he'll go into this big room with a bunch of crazy, you know, people that all want to hurt him, but he has like the perfect thing to say to the right person at the right time to like get him out of trouble because he's got like some little computer guy, you know, typing away on who knows what and feeding him all these answers. And it seems like, man, wouldn't it be nice to have the answers just right there in my ear? Wouldn't it be nice to know the right cool thing to say at the right moment? But the reality is, as Christians, we have access to God. It's maybe not as easy as just holding your ear like this. So, Josh, how do we get access to that? How do we stay close in a busy life? How do we stay close enough to God to hear what he's wanting us to tell people?
You know, before Jesus left and went to heaven, he gave us a few last final instructions, and he said, I want you to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. And we all know about that, right? Then there was one more, and he said, oh, not just that, but there's that last one. I want you to love your neighbor as yourself. And a lot of times when we hit on that, when we think about loving our neighbor as ourselves, we think about, I can go mow my neighbor's yard. That'd be great. That's a really loving thing to do. Or I could say something really nice to him. Hey, you look great today, Jake. I love the shirt.
Good outfit, yeah.
And that's going to be loving my neighbor as myself. But if you unpack that a little bit, if you start to unpack that a little bit more, you'll see that it starts not there, but it starts at home with you in the morning. And I can't love anybody unless I'm living in a right relationship with God. If I wake up in the morning and I'm sitting at my table with a cup of coffee and my Bible and I'm connecting with God, I got a real good shot of loving people that day. I got a real good shot. You guys with me on that? Now, on the other hand, if I skip it that morning and I'm trying to love people out of my own strength, out of my own capacity, I promise you right now, it ain't gonna look too good. So, backing up, it comes full circle, and it starts back with you and your own personal relationship with Jesus, man. It's funny how God puts that right back on us and says, get connected with me.
Yeah, no, and we see this in Jesus' life too. So we go to this next slide. Luke chapter 5 tells us that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And as you read through the whole New Testament, all four Gospels of Jesus' life, you see that there's a lot of times he's out healing, he's out doing tons of ministry, helping a lot of people. He's very, very busy, and yet he's constantly pulling away from people and spending some time alone with God.
He did it in some really crucial times, too. The time that jumps out at me is in Luke 5. Jesus is right in the middle. He's healing everybody. He actually says that they brought every single person that was sick. And it said he healed all of them. Like, yeah, amen's right. But right in the middle of it, he didn't like wait for time and go, shoo, man, I'm glad that healing's done. Now I'll go spend some time with God since I have a little bit of extra time. Because you won't ever find that time. That time won't come when you just have some, happen to have some spare time I'll spend with God. It won't happen. Jesus showed us how to do it. He said, okay, I'm going to stop right now. And I'm going to walk away. And there was probably people going, Jesus, hey, man, my homie needs to get healed, man. Where are you going? And he's like, stop, man. I'm going to go get connected with God right now, man. This is important. And we need to take that and look at it and go, Jesus did that right in the middle of crunch time. I said, I got to get connected, man. It's for y'all. Yeah.
If Jesus needed it, we're going to need it too. Like, there's no way you can just like, I'm just going to buckle down and go through this week because I'm real busy. I'm just going to do it on my own strength. If if Jesus took the time and said, this is a priority, it's priority number one, go spend some time with God, then I'll get to, I mean, Jesus is doing a lot bigger stuff than I'm doing on a given week. It's bigger responsibilities, but he still took that time out. And that's how we get to that James Bond moment. That's how we get the, like, lightning bolt of this is the right thing to say to this person, is you've spent time alone with God, you've gotten close to God, so you can listen to him while you're listening to somebody else. So this last slide that we have here is one little way, one practical step you can take this week. It's not definitely the only way, but I was thinking about last week we talked about palms out, palms up. It's this type of way to pray where you put your hands out and you say everything that's on your heart on some issue with God. And then you put your hands up and you just try to listen to God for as long as you talked. So it's kind of a little bit cheesy. It's kind of like training wheels for praying.
Did you say you do it for as long as you talk to God?
As long as you talk. That's a good point.
You listen for that long?
So you don't talk to God for 20 minutes about your problems and then listen for 10 seconds. If you talk for 10 minutes, then you listen for 10 minutes.
This is huge, guys. Yeah. This is big. Yeah. Now, as we've been going through this communication series, this has changed the way that I thought about prayer. And because I used to shoot him a list, man. Here, God, I want you to do all this, man. And I'm going to listen to you for about 2 seconds, and then I got to go. But this has changed the way that I pray. Is prayer is more about you listening than it is about you talking. It's about what he's going to say to you is going to change your life. What you're going to say to him ain't going to... Yeah, right. He might change something. You need to hear what he has to say to you. I promise.
Yeah, exactly. So when you pray like that, what I tried to start doing this week on Wednesday, I was writing the sermon. I thought, well, I'm going to try this out. So I wrote down three names of people I knew I was going to see that day, or at least I was planning on seeing. And I took each one of them one at a time. And I just said, okay, I'm going to see, you know, Chrissy later tonight, talk about what's going on in our lives. And I just listen. Okay, God, what do you want me? Do you want me to say anything to her? Anything going on that you want me to be involved in? And I'm going to go have lunch with this person. And I just did it for three people. That's a random number. You can start with one if you want. But then I wrote down some stuff I felt like God had kind of laid on my heart about that, what was going on with that person. And then I went to lunch, and the person opened up a problem. There were two other people at this lunch. The first thing the two of us did was like, well, here's all the answers to all the stuff you're messing up. And the other person didn't respond very well to that. And I thought, oh, like I'm preaching a sermon about communications, about listening, and I've just prayed a bunch about trying to not speak unless it builds someone up, trying to not speak unless it's from God. And here I am, just like running my mouth already.
So it's okay to mess up sometimes.
So I messed up. You guys, maybe you'll do better than I did, but I messed up right away. But I caught my mess up during the lunch instead of after the lunch. I was able to do better the rest of the lunch. And I was a little more humble, at least, through the lunch. And then I think, as I'm going, hopefully, that's going to build these habits. So afterwards, I did kind of a talk it over with God, just like you do the pregame with your coach, and then you do the postgame. What went right, what went well, what went wrong. So you talk it over with God, and I actually wrote a little note card to myself, kind of like John Wooden, about, like, next time I hang out with this guy, I'm going to remember, like, this is a good motivator, this isn't a good motivator. So that's pretty detailed. It's pretty involved. Why is it worth all that trouble if we're just going to talk to other people? Well, if you guys have ever watched like a court show, they have a little court reporters, or if you've ever, I guess you guys, maybe if you've ever been in
court,
don't need to do any TV shows, maybe. So court reporter writes everything down. Imagine if someone followed you all week long and they wrote everything you said down. You'd probably have a stack of paper like this. In that whole stack, if we reviewed it, would there be one sentence that changed somebody's life this week? I mean, those are really rare. Not just one positive thing. Hopefully we all said something positive. But is there something that was from God through you to another person that really built them up, that added a brick on what God is building them into? I can remember back, I was thinking about these types of conversations. I'm friends with Amy Van Arsdale, a lady that's mentoring Katie Rose, our youth ministry intern. I've been friends with her for about 15 years, and about more than 10 years ago, she said one sentence to me that she felt like God had laid on her heart about me, and that stuck with me my whole life. I've had to make some pretty big life decisions, and that's been a puzzle piece in the life decisions. And I just think it was like four words that she told me. It wasn't a lot. And we've had hundreds, maybe thousands of conversations, but those four words are the most important things she's ever told me, because it was something she was confident in, that I think God told me this about you. And then it was true. I've had some people tell me, I think God told me this about you. And it's like, well, you follow that a little bit and you realize, like, this person doesn't have good discernment. But Amy's was true, okay? She had talked to God and she'd heard from God, and then it impacted me. And I just think, like, I don't need a stack of paper that I've said 1,000,000,000 things this week. I'd rather my stack of paper be really small, and there's one or two sentences in there that were from God to somebody else. The right words at the right moment to build somebody up according to their needs.
Let me.
Yeah.
And you know, as we've went through this communication series also, I hope that you guys have took some stuff away from it. But there's something that's important. That you can control how somebody else feels. If you're in a relationship, especially if you're in a relationship and your spouse, you know that it's encouraging and it's awesome to know that you can show up and that you can encourage them, that you can speak words that build that person up, man, and that make that person smile, that make that person feel great about themselves, man, and you can actually control what goes on. The mood inside your house is joyful because of the words that you're speaking to your spouse, instead of instead of just letting it go over your head and going, I have no control. Yeah, you do. You have the power in you to speak life into your spouse and to let them have them come alive and to speak. And you guys with me on this, man? This is great news, man. Your words carry so much power, man. And it's in you to build that person up, man. And it's great.
Yeah. God inside of us is waiting for people that will listen and then speak. They'll have the love for God to pay attention to God and then have the courage to actually speak that to somebody else.
And over a continual basis, over time, and you continually speak this into your children or into your spouse, over time you see that person grow, and they start to turn into this person that's full of joy. They start to turn into this person that's full of this life that Jesus has for them. And it's nice, man.
It's good stuff. So we're wrapping up our communication series today. I really want to sum it up with this idea. When we talk to other people, let's let go of trying to control other people or manipulate other people or make ourselves look good. And that's about 80% of what we say. Let's let go of that 80%. Let's care enough about God to listen to God. Let's care enough about other people to listen to them. Let's put a little bit more effort into the things that we say or things that God wants us to say that build people up according to their needs. Let's pray. God, I thank you for today. I thank you for who you are, that you live inside of us, even though I'm sure it's not a comfortable place to be. God, I pray this week we would host you inside of us, that the words that we say would bring a smile to your face, that God, we would open up to your power so you can begin to speak through us, so you can begin to change people with the words that come out of our mouths. It's in Jesus' name we pray.